Lord, I ask that you would help me, that your spirit would come upon me, Lord, that you would help me to say, Father, the things you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to have listening ears, Lord, and that our hearts would be open. Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit would work on the hearts of our people, Lord, as I'm speaking. I know it's not my work, Lord, but it's your spirit speaking through your word, Lord, and I'm just the voice that happens to be reading and making statements. Lord, I pray that you would help our church and help this to be a time, Lord, of encouragement and challenge, Lord, and help us to just see your word for what it is, Father. We love you in your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Like I said, you know, and I like to say this because if you don't, you know, I found this out as a pastor. If you don't defend yourself, no one else will. And sometimes you mention money and people say, that pastor's always talking about money. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you walk out of this service and say, that pastor's always talking about money, you are a liar. We give away more money than we bring. You know, we don't talk a lot about money around here. Not because we won't, it's just because the Bible has a lot of things to talk about, so we don't talk about money all the time. But at the same time, I'm not going to apologize for standing behind a pulpit and preaching about money because the Bible does talk a lot about money. And, you know, we're moving into this new phase and our church growth, we're going to that building. Obviously, we're talking about the offering that we'll be taking next week. And, you know, I want you to see that it is a scriptural thing. And there are many famous passages in the Bible that talk about receiving an offering. And here, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, you see one of those. And here you have the Apostle Paul speaking, and we know it's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to the church at Corinth, asking them to take up an offering and really just asking them about an offering that they had already promised that they would have given to the church in Macedonia. And he's reminding them about the fact that the church in Macedonia had already given towards, you know, to them in prior times. And he's using them as an example to be able to help them in regards to this thing of giving. He's using the church of Macedonia as an example of giving. And I want to just give you a few things to consider in regards to this passage. If you look at verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Now that word wit there means to reason, to have reasoning power, to have intelligence, to be able to think about something. That's what the word wit, you ever heard, you know, somebody say, oh, that guy has quick wit. What they mean is he can think quickly, you know, he can reason things in his mind very fast. And that's what the word wit means there, and we're going to get back to that later on in the sermon. But he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. He said, we want you to know, we want you to understand, we want you to think about, we want you to reason about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He says, I want you to think about these churches in Macedonia, the grace of God bestowed upon them. He said, well, what is exactly the grace that he's referring to? If you look at verse 2, he says, how that in a great trial of affliction. I want you to make note of that phrase. A great trial of affliction. Now, history tells us, and this is not in the book, in the Bible, but history tells us, you know, you might have learned about this in school and stuff like that, but history tells us that there was a man named Philip of Macedonia. You may have heard of him in history. And he was the father of a man that you, I know you've heard of in history, named Alexander the Great. And Philip was a king from Macedonia, and in Macedonia they had found that they had silver in their mountains there, in their mines, and kind of like, and you know, you heard of the gold rush, how California, they found gold in California, people started moving here. Well, this man found that there was silver in these mines, and he began to mine out all that silver, and he left this place of Macedonia just completely desolate. And by the way, because he was able to get all those riches, that's what financed the great crusades of Alexander the Great. Alexander, his son, the Great, was able to go and conquer the world because he had all this money that his father had mined out from Macedonia. And that's the city we're talking about. And when he had taken all the money from this place, he left it in complete desolation. I mean, they were in a recession. They were in an economic depression. You understand what I'm saying? Today, people use that word a lot, depression. We are in a depression, or we're in a recession. The economy is not good. And trust me, I understand that the economy is not good today in America, especially California. But this church in Macedonia finds itself in a very similar position. Look at verse 2. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction. He said, the money was scarce. He said, the jobs were scarce. He says, the unemployment rate was high. He said, people were not making a lot of money in Macedonia. But he says, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep, notice this word, poverty. Do you see that? Very poor people. Now we know that they're not going through, the affliction they're going through is a financial affliction because it tells us there that they were very deep in poverty. Notice what it says. Even though they were in a great trial of affliction, even though they were in a recession or in a depression, even though times were hard and money was hard to come by, it says the abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty abounded, notice, unto the riches of their liberality. It says, these people did not have a lot, but what they did have a lot of was the fact that they were very liberal with what they had. They were wanting to give. Now, I want you to notice verse 3. And point number 1 of the sermon this morning is this, giving to your power. Notice what he says. For to their power. Now, the word power there is referring to their ability. What they were able to do. What they had the ability to do. Notice what he says. He says, for to their power, I bear record. Notice, he says, yea, and, this is very interesting to me, beyond their power. Isn't that interesting? It says, they gave, this church of Macedonia, gave, or the churches in Macedonia, they gave, though the economy was hard, though there wasn't a lot of money, though jobs were scarce, though unemployment rate was high, though they didn't have a lot of money to give, he said, they gave to their power, he said, what they were able to give, but here's what's interesting, they gave above their power. He said, well, what is that referring to? It's referring to this, they, the churches in Macedonia, were giving sacrificially. They were not just giving out of the abundance of what they had, but they were giving from what they did not have as well. And what you need to understand, and we're talking about a special offering, because that's what we're doing next week. We're taking a special offering. I want you to understand a few things in regards to biblically taking an offering. Well, let me show you this verse. You're there in 2 Corinthians 8. Skip down to verse number 13. I want you to see this and understand this. In verse 13 he says, for I mean, not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened. He said, look, Paul's saying, here's what I don't want. I don't want a small amount of you to be burdened while other people take it easy. That's what the word ease means. And you know, in churches, and not just churches, at your job, anywhere really, there's always what's called the 80-20 rule. You heard of the 80-20 rule? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 80% of the people are just taking, doing nothing. And in churches are the same way. I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings or to offend you or anything. I'm just saying, church is the same way. 20% of the church finances the rest of the church. It's just how it works. But Paul says, he says, for I mean not, look at verse 15, I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. He said, I don't want a small amount of people to take the burden of accomplishing this while other people take it easy. Look at verse 14. But by an equality, do you see that word? Equality. He says, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Do you see that word equality? Keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians. Go with me to Mark chapter number 12. Here's the first principle I want you to understand when it comes to taking a special offering in a church type setting. We are not looking for equal giving. And what we mean by that is that we're not expecting everybody to give the same amount. And really, I should be saying, God does not expect equal giving. But I'll tell you what God does expect. Equal sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? Some can give more than others. Now, I think many of us give excuses as to what we cannot, you know, well, I cannot give. You'd be surprised how much you cannot give. You'd be surprised how much money you'd be able to give if you quit going to Blockbuster on Friday night. or you know, eating out as much as you do, or your Starbucks, or whatever. There's a lot of money we spend that we think, you know, I can't. Well, You'd be surprised what you can do. But here's what you understand. God does not expect equal giving. Not all of us can give equally. But He does expect equal sacrifice. He says, I don't want some to be burdened and some to be eased. He says, I want equality. He says, I want the burden to be shared by all. He says, I want you. And here's the challenge that I'm giving you this morning. And I want you to understand this. Because some of you already turned me off. And that's fine. I'm used to it. But I want you, when you approach this week, here's the goal of the sermon. I want you to leave here this morning saying, I'm going to pray every day this week about what God would have me to give. Now you say, well, Pastor, how much do you want us to give? I don't know. I don't know how much God wants you to give. We don't expect equal giving, but we do expect equal sacrifice. And let me prove that to you from the Bible. Are you there in Mark chapter number 12? Very famous passage. Look at verse number 41. Mark chapter number 12 and verse 41, the Bible says this, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. Mark chapter number 12, verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. You see that? I don't know if you guys noticed, but I purposely, when the offering is being taken at Verity Baptist Church, I purposely do not look while the offering's being taken. I sit there and I pray, or I look at my notes, whatever. Because I don't want anybody to think like, well, the pastor's looking at me, so I better put something in. But I think it's funny, because Jesus sat there and watched the offering go by. He sat there right by, because the way they did it in those days, they didn't take an offering of service. They just had a place that you drop off your offering as you were walking out the door. And He just sat right there, and He just watched people as they were giving money. Now here's what's interesting, look what it says, look at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. You see that? So there was people that had money, and they were throwing in a lot of money in. Look at verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Nothing. That was nothing. Look at verse 43. And He called unto Him His disciples, and saith unto them. Now notice what He says. Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in to the treasury. Now you gotta ask this question when you read that. You say, how is it that this widow gave more money than anyone else? Well, we know that she didn't give more money than anyone else. But according to Jesus, she gave more. Here's why, verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. See, what you got to understand is this. You know, I don't know it. You may be a secret millionaire, and you've hid it very well from the rest of us. You're one of those people that drives those really ugly cars with the bumper sticker that says, my other car's a Mercedes or whatever, you know what I mean? I don't, maybe you're a multimillionaire, and I don't know it. If you are, let's bow our heads and just raise your hand. If you know, I don't know, but let me tell you something. You know, you may have a lot of money. And you may be able to say, well, I could write out a $5,000 check right now. But you know, even if you did, it's not that what impresses God is not the amount that you give. What impresses God is how you sacrifice. See, she didn't give a lot, but she gave all that she had. And He said, well, these rich people, they gave a lot. But He said, they gave out of their abundance. See, here's the thing. They weren't really sacrificing. It wasn't really difficult for them. It wasn't hard. See, the church in Macedonia, I don't know how much they actually gave, and it doesn't really matter how much they gave, because we know they did this. They gave to their power and above their power. Now, here's what you got to understand. Some of you have already determined in your mind, next Sunday, when the offering plate goes by, I'm going to throw in a $20 bill. And if that's all you can give, then praise God for it. I'm not mocking that. But for some of you, that's a joke. For some of you, that's... See, and don't... I hesitate to even say this because people like to get offended easily, but what's new? But you know, we have this mentality, and many of you have grown up in these religions where you give and you just, you know, you throw in just a few, you know. Well, you know, you go to church and you just throw in a few dollars. Well, God's happy with that. Look, let me tell you something. God doesn't need your tip. You don't tip God like you tip a waitress. The Bible says if you're going to give to God, you ought to, and I'd ask for you to determine, would you, you know, because some of you, you say, you know, I can give this much. Think about it. Take that amount. Whatever that amount is that God has put in your heart, take that amount and say, God, is that really me giving to my power and above my power? Is that really me giving sacrificially to God? Because we're not, you got to understand this. And well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here in a second. But you got to understand this. The sacrificial giving of the church is my son. They gave not just what they had ability to give, but they actually stretched themselves above that and they gave. The Bible says, I love how it says it. It says, to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And here's what you got to understand. When you give sacrificially, see, some of you, and hopefully not, but sometimes people hear this type of preaching and they think, I can't believe that that pastor would be asking us to give money so that he can have a bigger building. Or whatever. Let me tell you something. Number one, it's not for me. You know, I'd be real comfortable staying right here where the walls are already textured and the paint's already on. Okay? It's not that we're doing this because, oh, we just want notoriety. Look, we're trying to reach more people, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But you got to understand this. The only way that it even makes sense to you to say, I'm going to stretch myself, I'm going to give above what I can give. Here's what you got to understand. The only way that even makes sense is if you have a willing heart. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 3. I want you to notice this. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, notice, I want you to notice the last part of verse 3. They were willing. Do you see that word willing? You ought to circle that in your Bible. They were willing of themselves. The Bible says, keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians. Go with me to Exodus, real quickly. Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25, just real quickly. Exodus chapter number 25. And I want you to look at verse number 2. In Exodus 25, we have another scripture that accounts for us the fact. Actually, you know, I said Exodus 25, right? I'm Exodus 35. Exodus 35. There's a passage in 25, but let's just skip that. Exodus 35, look at verse 5. In Exodus 35, you find there, remember when they were building the tabernacle? God asked Moses to take an offering for the tabernacle. But here's what you need to understand. Exodus 35, look at verse number 5. Exodus 35, look at verse number 5. God says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. God said that. Now notice what he says. Whosoever is of a what? Willing heart. Do you see that? Let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. Skip down to verse number 21. We could read that whole passage and there's a lot there, but let's just skip down to verse 21. And they came, everyone, whose, notice, heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. Do you see that word willing? And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. Look at verse 22. And they came both men and women, as many as were what? Willing hearted. Do you see that? And brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold and silver. Skip down to verse number 29. And we could go through this whole passage and preach about this. But I just want you to see this. Look at verse 29. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering. Do you see that? Unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of the work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, you should have kept your place there. We're in 2 Corinthians 8. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, real quickly. One chapter over. I want you to see this. In Exodus, God, notice how he kept saying, I want you to bring an offering. And God said this. He said, I want you to bring an offering. But he said, only those people who have a willing heart. He said, only those people who are willing to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Look what the Bible says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And I'm going to get back to that in a second. But look at verse 7. Every man according as he what? Purposeth. You know what that means? They're willing. In his heart. So let him give. Now, I really want you to notice this, and I want to make a big deal about this. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you see that? Let me open my heart to you and be very honest with you. And sometimes making statements like this may be a little counterproductive. And I'm going to prove to you that I am the worst preacher when it comes to preaching about offerings that you can find. But I can tell you from the bottom of my heart if it means that we raised $5,000 next week, but we did it because you gave with a bad attitude, I would rather us not meet the goal. I would rather us fall short of the goal. I would rather stand up next week and say, hey, listen, folks, guess what? We didn't bring in 5,000. We only brought in X amount. But those who gave of a willing heart. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need you. And sometimes we get in these attitudes, and I'm supposed to stand up here and preach and beg you, please give to God. And please. I'm not going to beg you to give to God. Hey, if you have a willing heart, if you say, I want to do that, and I want to sacrifice, and I'm going to get involved in this thing, and I'm going to get committed. See, if you're listening to my voice today, saying, well, I'm not going to give anything. Your heart's not willing. Your heart. See, the Bible says this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm not willing to give my treasure. Then keep it, because you're obviously your heart's not with it. You'd really rather not meet the goal. I'd rather not meet the goal and be right with God than sit here and beg you and guilt you into giving something. And when the offering goes away, you're,
yeah.
Bye, Lincoln. I'm gonna miss you. Yeah, I'd rather have a church full of widow's mites who say, "Well, I don't have much, but here's what I can do." Well, I don't have much, but I love God. The Bible says this church in Macedonia, they were willing. They gave of a willing heart. See, God doesn't need... See, oftentimes God puts us in these positions of taking offerings and that, just to test where our hearts are. Just to see where we're at in life. See, and you got to understand this. And let me say this. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to notice this. Look at verse 14 again. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Look at verse 15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over. And he that had gathered little had no lack. Now that is a reference back to the Old Testament when they were picking up the manna. Remember when they picked up the manna in the wilderness? Remember God supplied the manna? And there's a lot of illustrations there. Jesus Christ is the manna. The Word of God is the manna. We understand that. But in this context, the Apostle Paul is using this story as an example of the fact that God supplies, and they would go out, and some would pick a lot, and some would not pick as much, but it always worked out to the way those that had a lot, they had enough. It said, verse 15 again, as it is written, he that had gathered much, notice, he that had gathered much had nothing over. And he that had gathered little had no lack. And here's what I'm just saying. Maybe God has blessed you financially. Maybe God has given you money. Maybe you have a job in this economy and many people don't. And you say, well, God has given me a lot of money so that I can go to Vegas. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Miss Deli put that in my mind because she's going to Vegas. Now, she can go to Vegas because she's from Vegas. She's going to see family. Right. God gave me a lot of money so I can finally take that trip to Hawaii. You say, are you against Hawaii? I'm against nakedness. I'll say that. You know, God gave you a trip so we can finally go. Look, maybe God bless you financially so you can get. He that gathered had much, the Bible says. He didn't have any wanting. They were able to give. See, God supplied. People say, are you worried about going to the building? Look, I know this. God has already supplied the need. Say, how? See, we have this mentality, and I understand it. I get it. Sometimes I think, hey, man, if we could just get one millionaire saved, you know, we'd be good to go. Yeah, try to get that millionaire to tithe. We can't get you to tithe, and you make $100 a week. Imagine the guy makes $100,000 a week. A lot more money. See, what you understand is that God works through individuals. A church is not a person. A church is not one guy with a big checkbook. A congregation is a congregation of people coming together, and we can't all give the same. And some will give a lot, and some will give less. But what God expects is for all of us to give sacrificially. For all of us to come to God and say, God, what would you have me to give? What would you have me to sacrifice? What would you have me to do? See, you got to understand that God takes care of, I truly believe this, God takes care of those who give sacrificially. Go back to 2 Corinthians 9. Look at this verse, verse 6, we read it. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God says, how you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You know what the word sparingly means? When talking about money, it means this, cheap. He says, if you're cheap with your money, he says, then you're going to reap cheap. And I'm not saying that when you know, we're not prosperity gospel preachers up here. I'm not a Pentecostal, you know, telling you, if you put money in the offering plate, God's going to, you know. But I'm saying this, I do believe that God will bless you. It might not be financially, but He will bless you. Amen. Sometimes we have this idea, people have this idea, they say, well, those who are blessed the most, then they're able to give the most. I will submit to you that you've got it backwards. Those who give the most are often those who are the blessed. See, if you say, if God blessed me with money, I'd give more. That's why God doesn't bless you with money. Because God has already blessed you with something. And the Bible says that if you are faithful with the few, then He will increase that. If we would be faithful with the giving that God has given us, and God found us faithful, that we were not going to just keep that, but that we were going to use it for the work, then God would say, I can trust that guy. I can trust that lady. I can work through them. We ought to give sacrificially. You know, I'll tell you this. I don't feel comfortable doing this. And I've done it before. Many of you know, obviously, before we started Verity Baptist Church, my wife and I were members at Fellowship Baptist Church. Pastor Mark Lewis trained me for the ministry, sent us out. And Pastor Mark Lewis gave me advice. He says, when you're asking your church people to give financially, he said, you should always tell them how much you're planning on giving. Now, I don't feel comfortable doing that because to me that may seem like you're boasting or bragging. And I would say to you, you shouldn't go around saying, well, I'm going to give this much. How much are you going to give? That's a bad attitude. But as a leader, I understand. If I'm going to stand up here and tell you, hey, you ought to give sacrificially, you know, and I will tell you, and the only reason I'm going to tell you this is because I want you to understand, I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. I don't take a paycheck from this church. I work a full-time job. I'm not asking you, so, you know, I would pray, and my wife and I have been praying about it. Next Sunday, we have committed ourselves to give $1,000 towards the office. Now, that may sound like a lot of money to you. That may sound like nothing to you. But to me, that's a lot of money. I can stand before God, and when I put that offering in the offering plate next week, I can say before God, I not only gave to my power, but above my power. Now you say, well, why would you do that? Here's why I would do that. I believe in what this church is doing. I believe in what we're doing here. You don't find churches like Verity Baptist Church a lot. You don't find churches that are out. This week we had 11 soul winners out, knocking on doors, preaching the gospel, getting people saved. You don't find churches doing that today. I want to see this church take on the next step. Now you may look at that and say, $1,000, that's nothing. Hey, praise God, then you give more. You may say, I can't believe, look, I'm telling you right now, I'm not a millionaire, I don't have a lot of money. It is a sacrifice for us to do it. But I want to do that. Why? And I'm the only reason I'm telling you that is to say this, I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do. Don't walk out of here and say, that pastor just money hungry. I could think of a lot of things I could do with $1,000. Me and Miss Deli could have a good trip. There's a lot of things we could do. But we want to give sacrificially. I'm asking you, would you consider giving sacrificially next week? I'm asking you, would you spend time this week praying and thinking, well, what can I do? How can I give? See, what you got to understand is this. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but notice this, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Do you see that? And unto us by the will of God. I want you to see a couple things from that verse. Number one, you cannot give sacrificially until you give yourself to the Lord first. You cannot give to your power and above your power. You cannot give. You know what sacrificially means? It hurts. It means, I don't want to do it, but I think it's what I should do. And you can't do that until you have first given yourself to God. giving yourself to the Lord. But notice what he says. He says, they gave of their own selves to the Lord. And then notice this. And unto us by the will of God. Here's what you got to understand. And please understand this. And I want you to get this. When you give to Verity Baptist Church, you are not giving to Verity Baptist Church. You're giving to the Lord through Verity Baptist Church. You're not giving to Pastor Jimenez. You're giving to God through this church. It's to serve Him. We said number one, giving to your power. But number two, I want you to see this. And these next 2 points are going to go fairly quickly. Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Not only did they give to their power, number two, they gave to prove. Look at verse 8 again. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Notice what he says. And to prove the sincerity of your love. Do you see that? Look at verse number 24. Last verse of verse 24. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your what? Love. And of your boasting on your behalf. Let me explain this. And I'm not preaching on tithing this morning, but here's what you got to understand. We tithe to prove our obedience. We give sacrificially to prove our love. When you throw your tithe in the offering plate, you don't say, "Here, God, I tithe." That's how much. All you prove to God is that you are obedient. He commanded you to tithe, and you did it. And oftentimes we don't even do that. But when you give your tithe and then you give a gift, and by the way, let me say this because next week is the first strategically planned the offering near the first. I'm smarter than I look. I just look like this. I want you to know our offering will be above our tithe. We will tithe and give an offering above. Well, why? Because my tithe just shows God. It's just the pastor tithes. Yes, the pastor tithes. Your tithe shows your obedience. Your sacrifice shows your love. He says, notice what, look at verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. I'm reading the wrong verse. Good night. Verse 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches, notice, the proof of your love. You got to understand this. You can say, we talked about this on Wednesday night, Lord. You can say, I love God, I love God, I love God all you want. But you got to understand, God expects us to prove our love. I say this all the time. Jesus Christ said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. See, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. But that's not the end. He says, God so loved the world that he gave. You know what you do when you're in love? You give. You know what you did when you were dating? You found that little sweetheart? You gave. Why? Because you love. You know why you give to your children on their birthdays? Because you love them. Why you give them in Christmas? Because you love them. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, you prove your love through giving, and you got to understand. I don't know if you're thankful for what God has done for you. I don't know if it even matters to you, but it's interesting because in verse 8, look at verse 8 again. I speak not by commandment. Notice what he's saying. The word commandment, he said, I'm not commanding you to give. And please understand, Pastor Jimenez is not commanding. I'm not standing up here and saying, you must give to be right with God. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. If you're willing to give, we'd love for you to give. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look at verse 8 again. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, give. He says, prove the sincerity of your love. Look at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Here's what he's saying. He says, do you love Jesus for what he did for you? Let me ask you that. You don't have to answer that a lot. But do you love Jesus for what he did for you? Are you saved? Are you saved? I don't know. Maybe you need to talk to me after the service. When you sit down and realize about the fact that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, went to hell, rose from the grave. He didn't have to do that. He was God Almighty. It wouldn't have bothered him a bit if all of us went to hell. But God chose to give for us. And then he says, if you love him, then give. Pastor Jimenez, are you saying that we have to give? I'm not saying you have to do anything. I'm saying this. If you love God, would you give? If you're of a willing heart, would you give? Would you give to your power and above your power? He said, I want you to give to prove your love. Number three, I want you to see this, giving to perform. Look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. Notice this. He said, and herein I give my advice. I like this. Paul says, here's what Paul says. He says, if you want my advice, let me give it to you. Like the last few verses haven't been my advice. He says, and herein I give my advice. Verse 10. For this is expedient for you. Now notice what he says. Who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now here's what's interesting to me. He says, look, 1 year ago you guys talked about giving. He said, but you didn't do it. Now here's what's interesting about our church, is that about a year ago, we took an offering. We don't take a lot of special offerings around here. About a year ago, we took the first special offering. Do you remember what we took a special offering for? To buy that van, remember? About a year ago. And you know what's interesting to me is that I remember when we purchased that van, many, and I'm not, if this is one of you, I'm not calling you out, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, I'm just saying this. Many people came to me and said, Pastor, I wish I could give to the van. I just can't right now. And I said, you know what? God bless you. Just pray for us. And God worked it out. But I stand here a year later, like the Apostle Paul saying, some of you were willing to give a year ago. And he's saying to the church of Corinth, he said, some of you were willing to give. Look at verse 11. Now therefore, I love this, perform the doing of it. He says that as there was a readiness to will, he says you were willing to give, but he says being willing to give is not enough. He said it's good that you're willing to give, but here's our problem. So many of us, you know, so many people say, I would like to come to church on Sunday morning, but you don't come, it doesn't do us any good. I would like to come to church on Sunday night, but you don't come, it doesn't do us any good. I'd like to come to church on Wednesday. I'd like to give Thursday offering. I'd like to go solely. I'd like to read my Bible. I'd like to pray. Hey, it's good that you have a willingness to do, but don't just have a willingness to do. The Bible says, now therefore, do the performing of it. So don't just say, I'm willing to give. Give. Don't just say, I'm willing to go. Go. Don't just say, I'm willing to work, Pastor. Show up. I'm willing to go soul winning. Go soul winning. I'm willing to read my Bible. Read your Bible. We need to understand that it's not enough to be willing to do something. The Bible says we ought to do it. Look at verse 11. I love it. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. We're talking about finances. We might as well go ahead and meddle, right? I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. Many of you have made commitments to tithe faithfully. Let me ask you, have you been faithful with it? Well, I was willing to do it, then perform the doing of it. Many of you have committed to say, well, I'll give financially. Last year, I wasn't able to. Can you do it this year? Many of you have committed to be faithful to three services. How are you doing with that? Many of you have committed to read your Bible. Hey, some of you read 9 chapters a day in January. Let me ask you, how's your Bible reading going? Many of you have committed to pray. How's your prayer life? I'm just saying, it's not enough for us to be willing and say, well, I want to serve God. Hey, we understand. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to make the flesh perform what we say we're going to do. If you committed to it, say, hey, I'll do it. Don't walk out of here and say, well, I don't know. Would you pray about what God would have you to do? Look at verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind. Now look, that's the first step. We need a willing mind. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God wants you to perform in your giving. We're finished up right here. Just look at verse 1. I want to show you three verses. Look at verse 1 again. This is where we started. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He said, we do you to wit of the grace of God. He said, I want you to reason. He said, I want you to think. He said, I want you to logic. He said, I want you to understand the grace of God given to the churches of Macedonia. Here's what he said. He said, they gave to their power and above their power. He said, they performed it. He said, they proved their love through giving. And he said, I said all that to say this. Look at verse 6. It's very interesting. He said, inasmuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun so he would also finish in you. Notice this. Please don't miss this. That's part of verse 6. The same grace also. You see that? He said the churches of Macedonia, he said they had the grace to give. He said, but what we want from you is the same grace also. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence. And let me tell you something. You can say, I'm broke, and you can say, I don't have any money, I don't have anything to give. If you were honest, if you went to McDonald's this week, if you stop at a restaurant sometime, if you bought yourself anything, I think there are very few people who slept outside last night, you know, stole somebody's clothes and came to church. You have. We have. We're very blessed people. And he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us. Notice the last part of verse 7. See that ye abound in this grace also. You know what he's saying? He's saying, man, you're abounding in a lot of things. He said, I'm thankful for it. And by the way, as Pastor Ready Baptist Church, I'd like to say to you, I'm thankful that you are abounding in a lot of things. You're growing and you're learning and you're getting there. But here's what I want to challenge you. Abound in this grace also. Say, why? We must have at Verity Baptist Church a culture of giving. We must have people who are wanting and willing and ready to give. Why? Because a church that wants to accomplish something for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to require sacrificial giving. We move into this building and we put 120 chairs down. I don't know how long it's going to take us to fill that. But by the grace of God, we're going to fill that. And well, what are we going to do next? We're going to need another building. What are we going to do next? We're going to need another van. What are we going to do next? We're going to need to support some missionaries. We're going to need to support some church planters. We're going to have to get the gospel out there. We're going to have to do things.
Amen.
And the grace that this church had, in their poverty to say, well, we don't have much, but we're willing to do something. We don't have a lot, but we're willing to give in what we can to our power and above our power. Hey, I would submit to you, can we abound in that grace also? Would you get sacrificially? Would you do something? Let me show you one more verse. We're done. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number... I want to just show you this text real quickly. Verse 15. Philippians chapter 4. We're done right here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. It is 11:38. If I finish in the next 5 minutes, you are a spoiled church. Okay? Philippians chapter number 4. Look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia... Now notice, do you see when he departed from Macedonia? You know who he's talking to at the church of Philippians? One of these Macedonian churches. The church he's talking to about Corinth, he's saying, this is the church I'm talking about. He says, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Isn't it interesting that the most broke church was the only church who said to Paul, hey, we're going to commit, we're going to be faithful with what we promised to give you. Paul said, all these other churches said they were going to help me, but none of them ever actually did it, except you. Notice verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He said, not because I desire to give. Here's why. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know why you should give? You know why we should give? You know why I'm giving? Like I said before, I believe in what we're doing in this church. And if we put 120 seats down and fill that up, and we have more people saved, and more people baptized, and more people getting right with God, and more people learning about the Bible, more marriages saved, and more children being raised right, hey, that's fruit that abounds to your account. God says, hey, God, you're going to get rewarded for that in heaven, for investing in the life. You know, we ought to go soul winning, and we should go soul winning. But part of that is also giving. He said to these people, he said, you gave to my ministry. Paul said, you gave to my ministry. And when I got somebody saved, he said, that was fruit that abounded to your account. I want that. I want that in my life. I want that in my ministry. Now notice verse 18. He says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you. Notice what he said. This is interesting. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The idea there that he's giving is like in the Old Testament when they would give an incense offering or altar to God, that incense would go up into the air and it was a sweet smell. He says in the same way when you bring your offering to God and you put it in that and you sacrificially give it, he says that offering was an odor of a sweet smelling sacrifice acceptable unto God. That's interesting. 19. Say, I can't do it, Pastor. 19. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Many Christians like to use that verse and say, well, I'm broke, but my God shall supply all your needs. Hey, that verse only applies if you're giving. That verse only applies if you're sacrificing. I would ask you this morning, I challenge you this morning, that next Sunday we'll be taking a special offering for Berry Baptist Church. I'm asking our church family, would you prayerfully consider this week and say, what God would have you to give? Now maybe you can give $1,000, maybe you can't. Maybe all you can do is 500, maybe you can do 100, maybe all you can put is 20, maybe all you can do is 5, maybe all you can do is $1. The widow's mite was not much. But she gave sacrificially. All I would ask is, could you give sacrificially? Would you help? Now let me say this. If next week comes around and we don't get the 5,000, that's okay. It's not the end of the world. The denomination's not going to come and take our sign off. We'll have to move a little slower. That's okay. But I don't believe that is God's will. And I believe God would have us to take this step. And I would ask you, would you join me in prayer this week and consider what it is that God would have you to give? Not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. Just asking you to pray and have a willing heart. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I know these people love you. And I know it doesn't offend them to say, if you're willing, would you give? And Lord, I know that there are willing hearts, Lord. And I know there are people in this room right now who, if they had the 5,000, they'd write a check, but they don't have it. That's okay. But they can still be used. If I had the 5,000, I'd write the check. We know that it's not just meant for everyone to just give away their entire savings or give away all the money that they have in their account, but it's meant for all of us to do our part. Father, I pray you'd help us to have willing hearts that would say, I want to give to my power, I want to prove my love, I want to perform the giving. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.